Hey, good afternoon, NLI Nation. Today is Stephen Crabtree, the hitting coach, infield coach, and recruiting coordinator for Florida Southern College, a D2 school in the Sunshine State Conference in Lakeland, Florida. Steve, how you doing?
Doing really good. You know, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to meet with you here today, and definitely looking forward to it.
Absolutely. We are too. You know, you come from a program steeped in tradition with 9 national championships, 18 Sunshine State Conference titles, 43 postseason appearances. Can you tell us about the strength of the Sunshine State Conference as a whole?
I mean, the strength as a whole is actually an intriguing one. I mean, this is going into my 6th year in conference. Obviously, first 2 years in the conference were over at Rollins College as the hitting coach there, and you know, the last going into my 4th year here. It's always been a conference that's a strong hitting conference, but I would say over at least in my time in conference, it's become a very competitive pitching conference as well, and it's one of those things that we feel, you know, there's many strengths to our conference at this point. You know, with a development that every coach with the programs that our conference have made, it's become a very well-rounded conference, and basically, you know, it's one of those things that every weekend is you could win or lose to anyone. I mean, the parity in it is very strong, and you know, we have very very good baseball players in this conference that get drafted every year. So it's definitely one of those things that, you know, I would say just everything as a whole is a huge strength.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the pleasure of being an umpire in college baseball for 7 years and did a lot of non-conference SSC games, and you know, I can attest to the fact that that's a high level of play. So you're a hitting coach. I want to pick your brain on hitting specifically today.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what makes a high school hitter projectable to the collegiate level? I'm not just talking about D2, but just in general. We'll break down maybe a difference between a D3 and a D2 hitter. But in general, what makes a hitter projectable to the collegiate level?
Well, I think with any coach at any program, you know, there's many different things that each coach is looking at. You know, and everyone has their own preference as far as that's concerned. I mean, I could basically just speak from the standpoint of what I look for and the things that I like to see. And it's going to sound odd when I say it, but strikeability and kind of what I mean by that is I want to be able to see a player have consistent barrel strikeability to the ball. So I want to make sure that at any given time he's able to get the barrel to the ball and he's able to do that consistently. I think one thing as baseball coaches and, you know, just as a whole that everyone understands and knows is that this game as far as hitting wise is extremely difficult. It's 3 out of 10, you're a Hall of Famer. So being able to find an athlete who was able to consistently hit the barrel on the, you know, with the ball is huge. And that is by far the first thing that I think I would see. You know, nowadays with social media and swing development and everything else, I think that more people get caught up in how the swing is working. And, you know, you can have a very pretty swing, but if it doesn't strike the ball, then you're going to have a tough time hitting. So at the end of the day, I don't necessarily look for how the swing works. The first and foremost thing that I'm looking for is for a player that can consistently strike the barrel with a ball. And then, you know, you start looking for other things like bat speed and bat plane and things like that. But, you know, that's the thing that kind of stands out to me the most. And not only on that, and I don't even necessarily am looking at power at a given time right now with a high school player. Obviously it's great to see someone who has already developed some kind of power, but you know, it's one of those things that if you're consistently able to strike the ball with a barrel, power comes with maturity and time. And what I mean by that is a physical maturity and a mental maturity as far as approach and everything else. You know, Mike Trout didn't just start hitting home runs out of the blue. it was just the sole fact that he was able to consistently hit the ball hard. And as he started to mature and get bigger and stronger and smarter, those home runs start to tally up. So it's not necessarily trying to see the guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark yet. It's to see the guy that has a good approach, that can consistently hit the ball hard, and then, you know, those other factors start coming into play as far as bat speed and bat plane. But I would say that's the first thing that I look for. And again, kind of going back to it is, you know, you can go 3 for 10 and be a success. So there's 7 times that you didn't do something right. But at the end of the day, and this is something that we talk probably ad nauseum about here in our program, is hitting the ball hard every time. If you're able to hit the ball hard every time, you're giving yourself a greater chance to get hits and have success. And those are the positive things that we are always talking about and we are always looking at from a standpoint of how we do things here at Florida Southern with our quality, you know, at bat charts and everything else. So we just want our guys to have consistent, solid, hard contact. So again, that's kind of repeating myself here again, but that's just the first and foremost thing that I'm looking for personally.
Okay. Yeah. And easier said than done, huh?
Absolutely.
You know, we see each other all the time on the recruiting trail. You're one of the hardest working recruiting coordinators I know. When you're evaluating talent at, you know, whatever, the Palm Beach Classic or any other tournament that you're at, what's a red flag that pops up in your head when you're evaluating a possible recruit that you're already interested in?
Well, first off, thank you, you know, for the compliment as far as that's concerned. That is something that I take a lot of pride in is working hard and getting out there and trying to do, you know, the best that I can to make our program better. So I do appreciate you saying that first and foremost. But as far as red flags, I mean, we try to do our best as a coaching staff here at Florida Southern in getting to know the player from every aspect, from watching them play on the field to talking to, you know, their high school coach, travel coach, to then also talking to maybe a coach that has coached against them. The reason being is because it helps to give us a well-rounded evaluation of the player and kind of who they are. As far as specific red flags, you know, when we're going through that process and we might talk to a coach or what have you, if there's some kind of off the field issues, then that's obviously a red flag. One thing on the field that I can tell you that I actually do look for quite a bit is how do they handle failure? When I go watch a player, I'm not expecting them to go 4 for 4 every game. That's an unrealistic, unattainable goal that just cannot happen. So I want to see how they react in those moments that they don't have success. Maybe they strike out. Maybe they hit a ball hard right at the shortstop and it's caught, or they hit a deep fly ball to the warning track and it's caught. What's their immediate reaction to that play? Is it a throw my helmet type thing? Is it a kick the dirt type thing? Or is it kind of a little bit of a smile? Hey, you know, I did everything I could, but, you know, that guy just made a great play, or the kid made a great pitch type thing. Like those are important things for us to see, because at some point here at Florida Southern, you're going to fail, whether it's, you know, in a scrimmage or a game or, you know, what have you. Those things are important for us to understand and give us a better idea of the player and how they handle things. And on the flip side of that, I want to see how they handle success. Is it a good way of handling success, or is it a non good way of handling success, if that makes sense?
Right.
It's just those little things that you're kind of always nitpicking on, especially when it is someone that you're very, very much considering offering, which you and I've had those conversations in the past on, you know, like, hey, I really like this guy and you're trying to find out more about him and whatnot. But it's just all those little things kind of combined. And at the end of the day, you want to develop that relationship first and foremost so that you have a very good understanding of who that young man is and who they're looking at possibly becoming in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't agree with you more. A lot, as you know, we evaluate guys and work with guys to try to help get them recruited. And the number one thing I look for is how they handle failure. If I know a guy's projectable And I want him to go 0-for-4, even though that sounds kind of goofy, because I want to see how he reacts to it.
I agree.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing that I'm sure you deal with all the time, and of course I do, is I call it D1-itis and Florida-itis. It seems like every kid thinks that they're a D1 prospect, and every kid that lives in Florida thinks they can play in Florida. Can you just enlighten our audience about, you know, the level of play, whether it's in the Sunshine State Conference or any other conference in Florida, the level of play that is present here for a prospect?
Yeah. Yeah. And without a doubt, it's Florida. Florida is one of those states, you know, along with California and probably Texas as well, where, you know, it's very high competition within the baseball realm. And, you know, I completely understand that people have those dreams of wanting to go to certain schools and whatnot. And one thing I can say from my experience and kind of, you know, being in the state and coaching in the state for as long as I have, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to be in very high competitive baseball. You know, obviously the D1s are the D1s. Us in the Sunshine State Conference, you know, it's hard for me to even say that we're a D2 conference just because of the talent that we have here and the amount of D1 prospects and pro prospects that we have in our conference. It definitely plays as a D1 conference. And I think if anyone were to come and watch our games and see guys on Friday night throwing anywhere from 90 to 97, they would have that understanding of that as well. And, you know, and also leading into our Saturday and Sunday games and so on and so forth. But it's one of those things that I think no matter where you were to go in Florida, it's high competitive baseball. I mean, every single junior college here in Florida is outstanding. They have great programs. The coaches work hard and everyone's working on development. And it's just one of those things that I guess every player has to make the decision of, do they want to go to a school because it's the school, or do they want to go to the school because it's the perfect fit for them? And what I mean by perfect fit, is it academically perfect and is it playtime perfect for them? You know, I know that if I could go back and do it all over again and I were able to play longer than what I did, I would have no issue playing at any school here in the state of Florida personally. I've even have coached at Weber International, which is an NAIA school, and that's the exact same thing. There is unbelievable competitive baseball here in the state of Florida that I think if any player were to choose any of those, that they would find success and they would be very happy with the level of competition that's in those leagues.
Absolutely. I mean, the Sun Conference, the NAIA Conference is loaded, as you said.
Yes.
Weber, Warner, I mean, you can go on and on. And you guys are D1 and the D2 Conference. I mean, it's not unusual for the Sunshine State Conference to have 15 to 25 draft picks a year out of that conference.
Yes, it and you know it seems like it's going up every year, to be honest, and that's not a surprise to me at all, just because of the amount of talent that is here in this conference and how heavily scouted it is. So I won't be surprised to continue to see that on the rise. And you know, we were very fortunate enough to actually sign a high school gentleman from this past year who was drafted in the 33rd round, and now we're trying to help him get drafted even higher. So that's something that we're proud of, and Hunter Fitzgerald, and you know, he's got himself a bright career moving forward as well. And that's the thing with our conference, is we're starting to get some of those guys that are high school guys that are getting sniffs from the draft early on, and then, you know, getting the opportunity to continue to develop and get better and mature to hopefully have that draft stock even go up. So yeah, it's one of those things that I'm not surprised by that at all, and I'm not going to be surprised as that continues to rise as well.
Yep, absolutely. And I know Hunter very well. Good kid.
Yes, sir.
You know, technology has trickled down from the professional levels down to the collegiate and amateur levels. How much do you use technology to evaluate and develop your hitters at Florida Southern?
So we currently use Rapsodo for hitting and pitching. And we have used Diamond Kinetics in the past, and we'll continue to use Diamond Kinetics in the future as well. For me, the technology is a great tool to help hitters kind of identify some things that they're doing wrong within their swing and how the ball's coming off the bat. And they're great tools. And I kind of preface the word tools is that they are things that help you, but they're not things that can correct you. You at the same time have to have someone that understands how the body is moving and getting it to move properly to make those corrections. So it is an aid for sure for us, and it's something that I do like to use. But at the end of the day, I'm extremely hands-on when it comes to working with our hitters and getting them to feel and visually see what they're doing. One thing that I do here with our hitters is I record them all the time, whether it's BP before a game. We get our film during games and scrimmages. I have two cameras set up behind home plate to get views of their swings and their approach and everything else. If we do stuff in the cage, you know, there's multiple times that we'll video record that, and it's there for our guys to go back and look. Because obviously, I heard a major league player recently say this, that they sometimes they don't feel right, but when they go back and watch video, it looks right. And that's just another tool to help in player development, as far as I'm concerned, is giving our players an opportunity to go back and actually see what they're doing. So we use the Diamond Kinetics and the Rapsodo to give our guys an idea of what they're doing. But at the end of the day, we're doing a lot of core velocity belt stuff. We're doing a lot of things to help our guys get the proper feel and then go back and watch and then they can see for themselves on how the swing's actually looking. And then you use the technology to show them what the swing's actually doing at that point. So it is something that it is definitely good to use and have. We are very lucky that we have it.
Yeah. And when it boils down to it, the human element's always going to be priority one. It seems like baseball's in a crossroads right now where technology's trickling down to the amateur levels, and a lot of travel ball teams and other programs are advertising the heck out of it. Hey, come join us because we have this. And it's all good for development, but at the end of the day, it's all about the coaches and the human element.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing too, is I want to make sure that I've got that relationship with my players first and foremost. And what I mean by that is I don't walk into a room every year with a new hitter and feel like I've earned their respect already just by walking in the room. I earn their respect by the work that I do with them, by the communication that me and that player have and developing, their skills from an offensive and defensive standpoint. So it is one of those things that I'm always consistently working hard to earn the trust and respect of our players, so that when we go back and look at things, they can actually have a very good understanding of it and trust my evaluation of what they're doing. And that is one thing that I can say from working with people has been a huge factor. And I'm such a firm believer in positive reinforcement and trying to keep everything positive with correction in there as well. But at the end of the day, again, as I said before, this game can be so difficult that if we're just constantly telling guys what they're doing wrong and not giving them that, hey, yes, this at bat wasn't good, but you did this really well in that at bat, let's focus on that. I think those things are extremely important and oftentimes overlooked. And that's where you can kind of see players from a standpoint sometimes, maybe not feel as confident as what they should be. I think every player learns confidence through repetition and seeing success and seeing the positive things that they do. So those are things that we try to do within our communication is keep everything positive. And, obviously there's a time and place when you have to, get on to a player here and there. But I think that's with every coach and with every sport. But at the end of the day, it's that atmosphere of understanding that there can be a conversation, as opposed to, sometimes when I've played in the past with certain coaches where you didn't feel like you could actually have that communication with them. And it was just kind of a yes, sir, and go about your business and do it. We want to make sure that we are 100% giving a open forum to communicate and feel comfortable in communicating. And again, that just goes back to that relationship that you create with your players.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Just like in any other field, same is true in baseball. It's a relationship business, whether it's coach and player or me with coaches or what have you. You got to have the relationships to be successful.
Absolutely.
Well, awesome information, Krabs. I got one more question for you.
Yes,
if there's any advice that you can give to a projectable prospect looking to get recruited to play at the college level, whether it's with the mocks or with anyone else, what would that advice be?
I just kind of what I've said before is you gotta find the place that's the best fit for you, and it may not always be the first place on your mind, but it might be the right place. And you know, whether it's right or wrong, you know, at the end of the day, in your heart, when you know type thing. Like if you walk on a campus and you know that you're in love with it, you know, if that's the place that you feel like you're meant to be, then you just need to go ahead and say yes and want to be at that place and be completely sold into to that school and that program, just because it's going to give you an opportunity to be happy and comfortable. And that's one thing that we preach to our guys all the time, is we want them to have their personalities and be who they are and be comfortable, because at the end of the day, when you're comfortable, you're going to play at your best. So I would just say definitely look at all options, never close a door, and really investigate into those options of those programs that want you. Cause it's always good to want something, but when someone wants you, that just makes you feel great inside, and that makes you feel like that's the place that you're going to have a lot of success. So I would just kind of give that advice, is to never close a door and find the place that's going to be the best place for you. And like I said, when you know, you know.
Awesome advice. I wish the Mock the best of success in the Sunshine State Conference this year. And we appreciate you and your insight on this podcast today. I'm sure a lot of people gain a lot of information that's going to help them out.
Absolutely, and definitely enjoyed it. And just want to say thank you again for having me on today.
Yes, sir. I'll see you on the recruiting trail soon. But until then, best of luck during the season.
All right, sir. We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
All righty.
Bye.